talking with the experts.
Absolutely. Now, we all love our athletes and we, you know, admire all these successful people out in the world. But what are the habits for endurance that they have that we could be utilizing in our lives?
Oh, I have just written the Endure formula for this. And essentially, it comes down to, you can parallel it with, say, running a marathon, or and I also talk about failures and refocusing and resetting your goals. What we don't see about athletes and lots of successful people is, one, there's no such thing as an overnight success. And two, they fail all the time. But some of the core things that they can share with us are things like that relentless self-discipline, the prioritization, you know, the recovery is really, really important. And that ability to consistently fine-tune training and reset their course.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today my guest is Suzanne Rath. And Suzanne is going to be talking to us about how we should be looking at our health better as business owners and not blame HR for everything that's going on. And she will explain to us, you know, how that works and why we should be taking care of ourselves a little bit better. So Suzanne is a speaker. She's a health and leadership coach and a health entrepreneur based in Cairns. In 2013, while working as a physiotherapist in Sydney, Suzanne's life was turned upside down when she suffered a traumatic brain injury and multiple jaw fractures after a car hit her while cycling. Oh dear. Suzanne orchestrated her own recovery over several years before moving to Cairns in 2017 to set up Wellness Embodied to be the clinic she would like to go to herself. Over 8 years, she's won multiple awards, including being named the 2023 Cairns Businesswoman of the Year. Having achieved her vision of creating multidisciplinary, innovative, allied health clinics which cater to body and mind, and that is treating the whole person, not just the body part, Suzanne turned her attention to speaking and coaching to amplify her impact. She works with leaders and teams to empower people to be 20% more purposeful, productive, and prosperous through leading themselves and their health. Suzanne, I can't wait to hear what you're going to share with us today. Welcome to Talking with the Experts.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We could all do with a bit of a health and wellness boost. We as business owners tend to ignore our health and think it's, you know, the problem with the business, when in actual fact it's our problem as people. How can we not blame the business and blame ourselves?
I think a lot of us in business are kind of kicking the can down the road. And that goes for things like our finances, like when we consistently reinvest in the business, but also it goes for things like our retirement or, you know, our health. All of these things are kind of things that we want to look at later. I'm a really big fan of the idea of micro retirements, like getting the most out of our life all of the time, having healthy habits all the time, and not waiting for that, you know, magic day, which might never come. So I guess that's from a leadership perspective. From a working with employees perspective, you know, we're in an age where things like burnout are on the rise, employee disengagement is really high, you know, the idea of quiet quitting is really high, absenteeism is really high. And one of the common themes I've seen in 8 years of ownership is the link between how engaged people are in their lives outside of work and how engaged they are within work. And so if we have people that display really poor health habits, like poor boundaries, perfectionism, have probably de-energizing relationships and things like that outside of work, then we can't expect them to come into work and be, our most productive employees.
Yeah, that's very true. Our personal life really does have a lot of reflection on the way we perform at work. So, to have a vital health, you've got five pillars of for 20% more purpose, productivity, and prosperity. What are they? What are these five pillars, Suzanne?
Vitality, which is huge. That is vitality is the core of everything I do. So I've got really three sort of core keynotes. One is around midlife, one is about 20% more purpose, productivity, prosperity, and one is around endurance leadership. And they all, if I was to summarize my keynotes in coaching, what they would give in one word is that idea of vitality. Energy management, how energizing our lives are. The second one is intake. So it's what we put in our mouths and how connected we are to what we eat and what we drink. I know, and I've just published a blog post on LinkedIn actually, and on my website, that I'm at my best when I'm like mostly eating my own food. I'm pretty connected to what I'm eating. I'm eating probably that 80-20 rule. I have no problem with a nice pastry. I love my daily coffee. But we just came back from overseas and we stayed in this beautiful hotel at one point that was like all inclusive. And, lunch would come out and the dessert menu comes out. And I'm like, no, I don't need dessert, but I'm not saying no to that chocolate mousse. And the cumulative effect of that, just eating probably richer food than I normally would, a couple of glasses of nice Chilean wine a day. I really noticed both physiologically tracking through my Whoop and within myself, these increased levels of anxiety and just feeling a little bit more sluggish than usual. So that connection to what we put in our body is part of intake. And the third one is thriving through movement. And, lots of people don't actually like exercise. But what we need to understand is that sitting is becoming the new smoking. Like, sitting is becoming the biggest health hazard. So, even finding ways to adopt little movement snacks throughout the day and get a little bit more movement. The A is for adaptability. And that really brings in how adaptable we are to change as well as our resilience. So obviously we know we're living in a rapidly changing world. People are afraid of things like AI and the changing nature of jobs and so on. But how adaptable can we learn to be? And there's lots of strategies I go through with people. And then the L is for leisure. And that is not only how much we sleep, but also how we invest our downtime. So I gave the example before about energizing relationships. A while ago, I caught up with a friend who was going for lunch with another friend that lunchtime. And, this friend of hers was saying, "Oh, I can't wait to catch up. So dying for a whinge." And this would be the how those lunches would run, right? Like it would be really draining, really de-energizing. Like she almost needed to charge that friend for a psychology consult, right? But so many of us find ourselves, in these meetings, in these family situations where we feel like we should be doing something as opposed to, actively engaging in the things and the relationships and the activities that are energizing for us.
Yeah, and that's a really good point about our leisure time. I have quite a challenging situation here at home, and so I like to go and have a vent every now and again. But I'm sure my family are sick of hearing about, how difficult it is, and what could I be doing better, and and so it's de-energizing for them because I think, oh my God, here she goes again, she's having another vent. So you're quite right in that way, that if you're constantly in that negativity space, you can't, it's in your private life, you're going to bring that to work.
Yeah, I think it's not, and it's certainly not about toxic positivity. Sometimes positive psychology is misconstrued as being, we certainly don't want to be like, we want to be real, we want to be vulnerable, but we want to approach things from a space of a growth mindset around, well, who can I go and who can I go and vent to? Or, how can I maybe get this out here if I'm putting, I remember having a patient a while ago who would have like a complaints journal. And she would just write all these things down, and then they weren't in her head where she was ruminating over them. So we definitely need to find a way of releasing some of those stressors and strains. And unfortunately, in life, there's situations often that we can't change. But I also think there's a lot of situations that we can work to be more intentional around how much we engage with them and how much we invest our energy. And I think if we find ourselves using words like, I have to, I should, I'm too busy, I can't afford it. Like those are all almost self-fulfilling prophecies, instead of using things like, well, it's not a priority for me, or I get to, or I'm choosing to, like much more empowering phrases.
I love that. I think I'm going to write those down. I'm after this interview, I'll write those down. And I'm not going to use the I
Yeah.
can't.
And I hear myself sometimes saying I'm too, like, I don't have time for that, but realistically, it's not a priority for me.
And that, and it, my friend, she lives in Adelaide, she keeps saying to me, you need to change the words that you use, Rose, because what your thoughts are is what happens in your life. And so you need to reframe or rephrase what you're telling yourself, because your brain's always listening.
And look, I'm a big fan of that sort of refocus and reset, because otherwise we just find ourselves kind of on that train, right? And complaining or getting into these things can be a little bit of an addiction almost as well. And just that, well, how is this serving me? How does this align with my values? Like that consistent reframe is really important.
Absolutely. Now, we all love our athletes, and we admire all these successful people out in the world. But what are the habits for endurance that they have that we could be utilizing in our lives?
Oh, I have just written the Endure formula for this. And essentially, it comes down to, you can parallel it with, say, running a marathon, or as we just actually did, we just cycled coast to coast across South America. And I tell this as somebody who's a very ordinary athlete. And I also talk about failures and refocusing and resetting your goals. It's like that Google OKR thing where they say, well, if you're hitting 100% of your goals, then they're not really good enough goals, right? But if you set a big goal, if you hit 60 or 70%, then that's, you're still, like, your goal is probably at the right place, right? What we don't see about athletes and lots of successful people is, one, there's no such thing as an overnight success, and two, they fail all the time. But some of the core things that they can share with us are things like that relentless self-discipline, the prioritization, the recovery is really, really important. And that ability to consistently fine-tune training and reset their course. So the Endure formula is around envision, so envisioning the goal. Navigate, so what are the steps you're going to take to get there? And an example I use of this is, a few years ago, I signed up for a full Ironman. My reason was because I'd done a half, and because my friend had signed up for the full, and I thought it was the next logical step. And then I did nothing to get there. And you can't outsource training for a full Ironman, right? Like, you can't just go, well, maybe it's going to magically land in my lap. So the vision's great, but unless, if we actually break it down into those steps. And the third part of it is drive. So it's, when do we, what do we do when things get hard? What's our strategy? How do we push through the wall? How do we keep that drive without it being relentless hustle or constantly driving? But how do we find that bit extra? And in the workplace, or in, I guess, society as a whole nowadays, I think sometimes we have this misconception around things like work, or that we always need to be happy, or so say what I'm doing because I love speaking, I love coaching, I love creating content. One of my team recently said to me, "Oh, when you're doing all this work like that, then it's not really like work." I'm like, "Well, no, it isn't. Like the creating content and the ideas and all that, I love that. But you still have to do things that you don't want to do. Like I'm sure you still need to do some of your bookkeeping or your BAS or like something that you don't, I don't like that stuff, right? I find it really tedious. Maybe you love it."
No,
Yeah. So,
hate
right, like we have this misconception. There's things you need to drive through, right, to get to what you want to go to. The fourth part of the endure is that utilizing recovery. And probably one of the biggest game changers for me in my work life has been from Christy Goodwin, micro breaks. Women are over 30% more productive if they take micro breaks. And it's like a piccolo break, like a 3 to a 5 minute break. And so I would use Pomodoro method and all these things, and I have my deep focused work time. And then my 20-minute timer or my 30-minute timer would go off, and I'm like, oh, I'll just quickly sit here and check my emails, which is not a break. So the idea of taking that little 5 minutes to like walk outside the dog, to make a cup of tea, to close my eyes, just as a really quick reset tool is amazing. And I was sold when if that's going to make me more productive, that's great. Then there's the reset and refocus, which we talked about. When we were in South America, as an example of this, I was, determined I was going to do every single kilometer from the coast of Chile to the coast of Argentina. And I had a series of issues with my bike. I started out with a cold, I wasn't sleeping. And the second day, we got to the top of the Andes at 3,800 meters. Obviously the air is really thin. And then we had to come down this insane descent down gravel on my road bike with insane crosswinds. Within 200 meters, I was nearly blown off my bike. And I sat on my front brakes the whole way down. And what I didn't realize at the time when I'd gotten my bike back from being fixed, my hand was stretched so much constantly on the brakes that by the time I got to the bottom, I was just like spasming, spasming, spasming. And I had to make this decision between my safety and if I was going to skip 18 kilometers of the ride that day. And so I really had to reframe and sort of reset my goal and think, okay, well, my key targets with this ride were to get to the top. I've done that, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really important. And then the last one is around setting, the new target. So almost re-envisaging, extending, right? So like, the goalpost always moves in life, and this is why a vision sometimes and relating that vision to your values is a lot more useful than goals and that achievement focused culture because, you have a business, right? You hit $1 million, someone's like pushed to 2 million. Like you do a marathon, someone's like, well, when are you going to do an ultra run, right? You do a half Ironman, and the next logical step is a full Ironman. So if you can relate the goal back to your vision and your values, it makes it a lot more fulfilling for you, and you're not so dependent on external validation and that achievement culture, which, when you reach the end of the marathon, if it's just about the achievement culture or someone else's goal, it can feel quite hollow.
Yeah, I love the fact that you keep setting new goalposts. So you start with one, and then you move to the next, and you work your way, and you work your way until you and there's always things to be doing. I mean, it doesn't have to be a half marathon, and then you go and do a full one, and then you go
Yeah.
and do an ultra marathon. If they're your goals, that's fine. But it's little tiny steps, that can get you from one goal to another goal, and they don't have to be huge. It could be, I don't know, plant your garden, when then you, oh yeah, maybe I'll just go and renovate something else, or do something else. So just little tiny things can make such a difference in your life without having to take, great huge leaps of
Yeah.
faith.
It's aligning whatever it is with your values. And, for me, to use an example within our business, like I started Wellness Embodied in Cairns from scratch just under 8 years ago as a sole physiotherapist working out of a treatment space, and grew that to 4 clinics, and we've now just gone back to 3. And that to me is not a step back. That is, it's like a release of a headache, to be honest. And I've had people over time say to me, "Oh, you should franchise, you should do this." I'm like, well, that wasn't really the goal. The goal for me was about a boutique service. It was about providing innovative services and, this vision of making Far North Queensland the healthiest region in Australia. But it's not just about having more and more people, like more and more bums on seats. It's about, well, does that enhance our existing services, or how can we actually expand our existing service delivery in a way that is going to enhance the lives of people rather than, my logo being on 25 spaces all around Queensland.
No, I get that. I mean, I've just recently I had an online podcasting course, which I thought I had an epiphany last night that I'm going to actually offer it one-on-one. And I thought, yeah. And so I just, did everything. And my goal is to get people to podcast, business owners, or just the ordinary person to become a podcaster, because I think it's such a great way to reach a huge audience. And so my goal is to empower Australians to be podcasters. So
Amazing.
whether my goal was the online course, now the next step was is the one-on-one. After that, I'm not quite sure. I haven't come up with another epiphany yet, but I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to hit you up once I create that space for that. And that's the thing, it's like impact. So you can measure what you do in terms of the people that you've helped, or like how they're then number of people they're then impacting. And we all need to have our way that aligns with us, that we feel like we're making an impact. But I think on that sense of it, that side of achievement culture and so on as well, it's really, and talking about athletes and whatever, it's really important to point out there are so many things I don't do. Like, I am consistently refining my not to do list. I need to go and redo my time tracker. I'm so big on a time tracker and looking at things that, no longer serve me, or that I can delegate to someone else, or is there a return on this, or why am I doing it? Because we get so caught up in this idea of this perfect life, and the reality is that in life there are times in life that if we want to dedicate, if we want to 10x, I just finished reading 10x is easier than 2x. That's amazing. If we want to 10x our work, then maybe we need to go, well, what am I going to get rid of? For me, that's often late nights, and it's often social things because I am dead after about 8 p.m. So, I prioritize, say, training and work ahead of going for a dinner that starts after 6:30. And that, just being comfortable with yourself and what your values are and what you actually want to achieve, to be able to say no to things rather than buying into this idea of these Instagram lives that people have. And
Yeah, they're boring. I think, I think, really, why can't you give something valuable rather than doing something? Well, I can't really say what I was going to say. We get down to workplace well-being, Suzanne. What works and why empowering your team members with individually designed programs gives better results?
So there's a lot of research on this around individually designed programs. There's research that quotes how employees will stay longer with organizations that value their health and their well-being. And then equally, there's a lot of research actually against the traditional approaches like the employee assistance programs. Also, there is tending to be a bit of a pushback against team building activities. Now, we do team building stuff in our clinic, but we're very selective with it because you need to really try to cater to everyone, right? So you can't have everyone going out on a reef trip if half the people don't like boats or they're seasick or they, yeah. So we really do put a lot of thought, I guess, into what we do, but there's a lot of tacked on team building things and so on that people are really getting quite jaded with. One of the things that really grinds my gears is this, the tacked on stuff for Are You Okay Day. So like the in chair massage and the the yoga and these things that are, getting in the workplace well-being speaker who has all these unattainable ideas. Like you've got to meditate for an hour a day. They don't want to. I don't want it. That's not, I'd prefer to walk the dogs for that hour. So really it's about giving people strategies that aren't going to invade more and more on their time. Actually listening to them, getting to know what motivates them, getting to know what genius work means to them, and empowering them to almost co-design solutions. I have just presented actually today to a group of Cairns business owners a tool that I've developed called Perch, which is a tool for measuring your workplace's health and self-leadership. Because again, when we come back to the idea of the business owner who's like waiting until things calm down before they start looking after their health, if we lack the self-leadership or the boundaries to be able to put in place these healthy habits, then you can give all the information in the world, but people aren't going to follow it unless if they have a why, a strategy, they're able to implement it into their lives. And that's where coaching comes in.
Yeah, and the team has to be invested in that team building exercise. I mean, I used to work for a government agency some years ago, and they used to have all these wonderful team building exercises, much like you described. And honestly, to us, it was just time out of the workplace. But we all hated them because, they didn't bring us any value. And these team building exercises have to bring value to the team members and to the organization as a whole, not just because it's something that the business owner or the leader has thought would be a benefit to everyone.
And they have to align with the organizational goals. And there's a lot of research that shows that a high percentage of leaders and owners don't feel like team building activities align with goals. But the way the workplace is, there is, we all know about the right to disconnect. We all know about these changes in fair work laws that are coming out all the time. So for a business owner, it sometimes feels like you're getting slammed and like you're responsible for everyone's happiness. And I think bringing in a tailored solution or coaches or whoever it might be from outside, can really help relieve some of the strain. And then the other thing about that is when you bring in outside speakers, I mean, I don't know what you've observed in the workplace, but like I can go and talk to other people's teams about this and I present heaps to our team and, a certain amount of it goes in. But I've regularly had leadership training for our team, external speakers, people come in that are saying the same as me, but it's in a slightly different way, or it's a different person, or it's not the boss, or it's not treated with the same level of, oh, well, she's just saying that because of this, right? And so, sometimes we just need to hear things in a different way.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can find Suzanne. She's on Facebook. She's on LinkedIn. You can find her on her website at suzannerath.com.au. And Suzanne is Suzanne, and Rath is Rath, and .com.au. And she would like to share with you polished silence. What is that?
Oh, that's my link to my Thrive 360 online program, which is starting next week.
Wonderful.
Can be joined anytime, but it's 12 weeks starting from the 18th of February. And 9 core modules, 12 videos, custom workbook. And the aim is to get that 20% more purpose, productivity, and prosperity.
Wonderful. Suzanne, have you got anything else that you might like to share today?
Well, in combination with a great friend and coach and mentor of mine, Angela Cedrin, we are running a retreat in Rome in September called Renaissance in Rome, which is a strategy, leadership, and well-being retreat. I'm really excited about that. So more information on that is on Angela Cedrin, roam, or feel free to reach out to me on email.
Wonderful. Yeah. If I had a passport and the dollars, I'd be going. Don't you worry. Angela is such a darling.
Yeah.
Suzanne, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us today. And I look forward to interacting with you on LinkedIn in the future.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.